What does it actually mean? Like thinking of that there's no one actually from Atlanta. Like, how long do you have to be at a place? Like living in a place before you could say that you're from there?
I think if you're filing taxes from there, you can claim to be. I don't know. See, in the US, I feel like people are a lot more transient than they are in
Yeah.
Canada. We only have like five, I mean, Canada's large from a just from a just a geography perspective, but it is quite small in population, and we don't have as many major cities. So I feel like people tend to stick to Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, like the major towns. Whereas in the US, I feel like people move around a lot. So maybe there isn't allegiance to like one sports city. But I find that people either tend to root for the city they were born in or where they lived the longest. So I think that's probably how it works. But yeah, I don't know.
So I just had a technical glitch. I
Oh.
realized that you were talking and I was connected to an old Wi-Fi. Well, it's still an active Wi-Fi point, but it's like very weak. And I'm like, oh, I'm not on the main one. So right now, we're just everyone who is listening or watching is going to be like, she probably just said the most amazing thing about the difference between moving around in the US and Canada. But there's like 15 seconds. But you know what? That's part of the mystery. People will just have to experience Canada for themselves.
I agree.
And yeah, but poor Atlanta. They don't have, it's just, they just don't have real sports fans. I mean, I don't know. I think that Atlanta may just be one step above Las Vegas as like a
Yeah,
fan, sports fan
I
town.
agree. And like even with like, the hockey team in Vegas. I know actually wasn't the NBA thinking when they were talking about the next kind of expansion move, Vegas is kind of one of the cities that they're considering. And it's not a bad idea. I mean, you don't like even with the hockey team or the NHL team, it makes sense because I was talking to a friend who works in the casino gambling world, and he mentioned that for a town that's essentially that's what it's known for, like gambling, it makes sense to have a professional sports team because you take your high net worth clientele to games, or you give them box seats, and that's one way to like draw them into the city as well. And it makes sense that a town that's kind of built on sports gambling would have a professional sports team, so it's quite lucrative for them. But I think it's also a lot of visitors. Like there doesn't like I haven't been to a game there, but I've been told that it's a lot of there's not a lot of people that live in the surrounding areas that actually go to that game. So even like the people that I know in Toronto, they'll go to like the Leafs game when the Leafs are there. They'll go to the game. But there's a lot of like corporate seats there. A lot of the casinos own seats there.
I feel like it's really smart strategy to have pro teams in Las Vegas because fans of that team, so the Raiders, I mean, all of their games are sold out in football, but there are a lot of, I mean, if you're a fan of your team and you're like, we want to travel, we'll do one game to see our team, unless you're going to some historic venue, you're probably going to choose Vegas.
Yeah, and I think with the Raiders too, I think you have a lot more football fans in that area than you do hockey. Understandably so. given the climate and probably the lack of hockey player breeding that happens. But I think basketball might fare well. Yeah, I
And don't they do summer? They do summer league in Vegas, right?
yeah, they do the summer league. I know I was there for the Pac-12, I think 1 year, 5 years ago. And it was insane. Like the city was like, and the Vegas Strip, but like you couldn't even walk. And I know that was just a tournament, but you know, it sports does draw people in. And so yeah, like if Vegas had a team, I could see myself making a trip out of it. Like, oh, let's go to Vegas and the
Oh, a
Raptors are
hundred
in town
percent.
or the Celtics are in town. Let's go watch a game. And I'm more likely to do that there just because like you can kind of make a little vacation out of it. But yeah, it's I think that would be a smart move. I think one of the other cities that they were considering was Mexico City, which would be great. Lots of basketball talent in that city, basketball fans. Actually met quite a few Raptors fans in Mexico City, believe it or not. So that would be a good one. But I don't know, like I know there was like when they expand to like different countries, like I know when they expanded to Canada, there was a lot of issues like with the taxes and players not wanting to play here because of those issues. But anyway.
So, I mean, I first of all, I love the fact that I feel like you're like touring North America, like you're repping your teams, like wherever you're going. You're like, oh, I mean, but Mexico City, I think would be a brilliant addition. I could see Mexico City, I could see Las Vegas, and I feel like Seattle deserves a team. I feel like
I feel
Seattle
like
deserves
Vancouver
a team.
should get their team, the not obviously the Grizzlies now, but I think Vancouver should get it. I don't know. I don't know. There it seems to be a market for it there. Maybe they didn't appreciate the Grizzlies when they were there. But they seem to have a lot of basketball fans.
Oh, I bet.
And it's sad because like with Seattle, I feel like Seattle wouldn't root for a Canadian team. But I know that there were a lot of people in Vancouver that did root for the Sonics when they were there, just because they were closer to them in proximity. Yeah, that region definitely needs a team.
I almost feel like I mean, I was just in New Orleans last week, and New Orleans is an incredible city. I don't think they're a basketball town.
Oh, I've been to a game there. No, they're not. I think I got like lower bowl seats for like $15.
I think it's time for the Pelicans to leave. And I, you know, God bless Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina is college, you know, that's college basketball state. I think the league would do fine just moving them somewhere else. But yeah, I think it's time to start shipping some teams out. I am curious to get your thoughts though. I mean, we'll eventually get to the playoffs in a second, but like, what would the Grizzlies be like if they never left Vancouver? Like, if they didn't move to Memphis, what would they be like?
I think they would probably be the Charlotte of like the league. Now that you've mentioned Charlotte, but yeah, I think I don't know because I think there might they made it, okay. So the problem is like with Toronto, it is a world-class city. It's it you know it's like playing it's like when you live in Toronto, it's like living in any major city in the US. And a lot of players have said, actually, was it CJ McCollum that I was listening to like a podcast and, you know, they were asking him, what's your favorite city to play? And I think he mentioned Toronto as one of the cities just because he loves the city as well. A lot of players have talked about the fact that they love Toronto as a city, but there's a couple of, like, besides the fact that you're constantly having to cross the border because you're
Right.
in Canada and go through customs, and that some of the tax implications. And also, I think they have to be paid in the currency of
Right.
the country that they live in.
Yep.
But the other drawback was the weather. So yes, places like New York and Chicago and all those places have snow as well, but Toronto being further north, get slightly a bit more snow and the temps seem to drop a little bit. Or maybe not Chicago. Well, Chicago is probably similar to Toronto, but again, you're in the US, so it makes a difference. I think Vancouver might draw some more people in just because it is the West Coast and just from a temperature standpoint, it's warmer, a lot warmer than Toronto is year round. So that could be a draw for some superstars to come there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, I think Canada absolutely could, to have a team on the West Coast. So that would make it difficult for them to give Seattle a team if they are also putting a team
Yeah,
in
it's
Vancouver.
I don't see both having team.
But the Mexico City and Las Vegas, I find quite intriguing. I did wanted to get your speaking of Vegas, before we leave it. In another sport, in NFL, there were several players who violated the league's policy on sports gambling. Do you have any thoughts or concerns about the infiltration of gambling with the NBA? And could you see there being any challenges?
Oh, with the new CBA? Yeah, I think anytime you leave the door open for gambling, there's always going to be, I don't think, there's always going to be some speculation that someone's abusing that situation. So I can see that. I know like in baseball, I won't go there, but there was a lot of controversy around that. And now with the NHL, I mean, I could see it being a problem. And especially being allowed to advertise for different sports betting companies. I don't know. I just see that I see that being an issue. And I prefer to keep gambling out of it. Like I think if you're playing a sport that people are placing bets on, I think you should be far removed from that. Like you should have nothing to do with it. And then after you retire, I mean you still have a lot of connections to the league, so it could still be a problem. But at least that way you're not completely in control of what happens during a game, right? Like one missed basket and that could be the difference between winning and losing.
I mean, in the NBA, I mean, we've had our problems. I mean, was it Tim Donaghy, the referee who was betting on games like
Oh,
15, 20 years ago? And I mean, but it goes to show that that was 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. Haven't had a lot of problems. I was going to ask you, of all of the players who are, I'm just going to pick on the teams that are in the playoffs, or maybe they were in the play-in game. Of all the teams that made it to the postseason, of all the players, who do you think is most likely to be caught up in some sort of a gambling scheme? Like who's the shiestiest, the shadiest of the players out there that you could see being caught up in some sort of gambling, some pay for play?
So, not because of anything that they've done to imply that they would get caught up in some sort of gambling shenanigans, but just simply based on their troubled kind of personal life. I love Ja, but maybe him. Again, like I'm drawing a parallel to like what he other things he's been involved in. I don't know. Maybe Oh gosh. Should we bring up Dylan Brooks?
I mean, I'm glad you brought him up. I mean, we were gonna get to him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's what are you what are your thoughts on Dylan Brooks? Just, I mean, he's kind of been in the news this week.
Yeah, I think that so he mentioned today, or it was reported that he had mentioned that, the media and the fans are making him out to be a villain. But he's kind of bringing it on himself. And we
Yeah.
talked about this in a previous episode that he needs to stop talking. He just
Right.
needs to stop talking. And I think that going after, you have franchise players and then you have the league player. And I consider
Right.
him, again, not a LeBron fan, but he's the league's player, right? Like,
Right.
and to pick on him was just a big mistake. First of all, I think that probably fueled a fire under the Lakers. Ugh. But we can talk about that a bit later. But I think that yeah, he's just like it's for no reason. Like if you're in the game and you're trash talking, I think that's all great.
Yeah.
But to just start shooting your mouth off for
Yeah.
no reason. I don't know what he was trying to do,
You
or what he
know,
had been trying to do.
right. So I know that in a previous episode we talked about that he should not talk.
Yeah.
Just play the game. That being said, Atika, I am so glad that he has not stopped talking, because otherwise this series would be there'd be nothing to talk about with this series for me.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, here's my what the thing I love about this Dylan Brooks LeBron beef that comes before the playoffs. I mean, I don't know if people remember that Shannon Sharp, the co-host of Undisputed, like he
Yeah.
was exchanging words with Dylan Brooks. You know, Shannon Sharp is the antithesis of you. So you're not a LeBron fan. Shannon Sharp is the number one LeBron James fan. He was ready to fight Dylan Brooks for LeBron James.
It was
Yeah,
very awkward.
and then I think Steven Adams, I think the moment when Steven Adams like took off his jersey and just had, you know, I think Shannon Sharp was like, okay, maybe not want to fight the strongest man in
Yeah.
the NBA. But Dylan Brooks, like the whole like wearing the stupid gold chain with his, you know, initials on it and his, you know, like, oh, I would have loved to play against prime LeBron, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, so I love the fact that he says all these things. I love the fact that he goes and gets himself ejected, which was a trend this week,
Yeah.
apparently, with guys. I mean, because he apparently Dylan Brooks is trying out to be the next Draymond.
Yeah.
But for him to do all that and for him to say, oh, the media, this is the media to make me out to be a bad guy. I'm like, no, this is you. And thank God. But you know what else, Atika? As much as I think Dylan Brooks is a front runner, and I'm saying this as someone who loves LeBron James, right? For LeBron to sit up there in the press conference last night, for him to say, oh, I don't make statements.
Oh, please.
I'm like, give me a break, LeBron. Like, the look on his face, like, he clearly was trying to make a statement. And it's like, clearly he had prepared himself to say, oh, I don't make statements. But I'm like, yeah, you're smirking. You're like, oh, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. I don't make statements. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, you're as petty and as,
Yeah.
you know, passive aggressive as a superstar has been in the NBA, which I love. That's part of what I love about him is just this great player and how just, I don't know, seemingly I don't want to say emotionally dependent upon public opinion, but I'm like, come on, LeBron. I don't believe you. Nobody believes you right now.
Yeah.
And so for these two guys to be, oh, I don't make statements. Oh, it's the media. I'm like, but this is WWE. I mean, those two, it might as well be The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin for, you know, I don't know, but I'm loving it. I don't know what's going on with Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. So, okay. He left during the first half of game one.
Yep.
Then he came back and he finished strong. So that was all fine. Mm-hmm. And then was it not game three, but game two where he was held to like 14 points or something?
Yeah. 14 points. A couple guys. I mean, I think Jaren Jackson got hurt for a little bit. He came back in. No Ja. And they lost.
Yeah.
And you know, and he, you know, I mean, decent game, you know, game three. I don't understand the Grizzlies though. Like Ja was back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Were incredible. Incredible. And they lose. All right, I'm going to ask you the dumbest question of all time, but I have to ask it. Are the Grizzlies better without Ja in the lineup?
Well, I mean, he left game one, right, with the hand injury, and they lost game one. Are they better without him? I don't think so. I think him and Bane together are, like, phenomenal. I wouldn't say that. I think there's a number of other factors contributing to them not doing as well. And one of those factors is the lack of rim protection. You know, they're missing their bigs. So I think that that's probably what's contributing to them not playing as well. But I don't know. Why do you think that?
I don't know how you win a game. And I know a lot of it was Anthony Davis not performing well, but when your number one guy gives you 45 points,
yeah,
I don't know if they're just watching Ja. I don't know what they're doing differently, but I feel like where he's had stretches. Now this year was different. This year I think they did struggle a little bit more when he was out for personal reasons, but there was a stretch last season when he was out that they just kept it moving. I mean, and even with him out, they finished as the number two seed in the West. And I'm just starting to wonder, like, what is it about their team dynamic that they aren't able to take full advantage of Ja when he is playing at the height of his powers? I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's the other players, but you can't waste a performance like that. There's no reason why they shouldn't be up two games to one.
Yeah, 45 points. I think he scored like six. He had six threes. I mean, I don't know. I feel like this one, like, it would take an entire hour to analyze.
Yeah.
But I think for this series, the Lakers are getting a lot of production from their bench as well. And I know we've talked about this before. In the playoffs especially, you need a deep bench. And that's almost as important as having a superstar player, right? Like, because you can have, you know, and we've seen this before with, you know, the Lakers in previous years, even with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And even when, you know, the big three came together in Miami, and it just didn't work out the first year until they made some key moves with some of the other players. But I think that the Lakers are getting a lot of production off the bench. You know, Davis is playing well.
Yeah.
And so for this series alone, as much as I want the Grizzlies to win, I just don't, I don't see them taking this series, unfortunately.
All right, I gotta ask you, is it that you want the Grizzlies to win, or is it that you just want the Lakers to lose? I mean, like, if the Lakers were playing anybody else, would you be rooting for that other team also?
Yeah. Yes. I always used to put I remember when I used to post on Twitter and on Instagram, and the Lakers would be playing, and I would put ABL, so anyone but the Lakers. That was like my catchphrase for the playoffs. So yes, but I do like the Grizzlies. I think they have such a talented roster. I think Ja is a superstar. I absolutely love him, irrespective of his personal issues. I think he's a great, like he's great. I don't even think he's peaked, despite, his 45-point performances in the playoff. I think he's great. I think him and Bane together are phenomenal. Like when they came to Toronto, I moved around plans to watch them play because I think they're just so explosive together. But so it's a little bit of both. It's that I don't want the Lakers to win, but I also do love Ja. So that's, and I do like the Grizzlies in
Yeah.
general. I love Adams. I think he's one of my favorite big guys in the league. So I was sad when he was injured.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the Golden State
Yes.
Sacramento series?
That's probably one of the most important and interesting series for me, not just because the Kings are back in the playoffs after their 16-year
Yeah.
drought, but they're also playing the defending champs. So
Yes.
it's very interesting. And also because as a Raptors fan, we can kind of get how the Kings fan base is feeling. So we didn't quite have a 16-year drought,
Right.
but we have gone through the brutal and endless rebuilding and losing franchise players and not being able to sign superstars and really only getting going once we got DeMar as a rookie, and then building a team around him, even though we didn't win the championship with him. So it's exciting, and it's probably the most excited a fan can be other than winning the championship. So just that alone, I think makes it such an interesting series. But I would say the Kings winning the first two games, I was really happy about that. And especially game one, I think the Kings were playing probably better than expected, and the Warriors were playing worse than anticipated by most. And honestly, on paper, the Warriors, they're, just their history, their dynasty, them being a dynasty franchise,
Yeah.
in not even including KD, but just even without KD, they should have been unbeatable.
Right.
And it's almost like they're their own worst enemies, right? But I mean, they were able to save themselves by getting the win in game three and, bringing the series to 2-1. And Curry just putting up huge numbers. I think it was obviously a do or die game for them because we know what happens when you go down
Yep.
0 in the NBA playoffs. I was sad. The Kings did struggle quite a bit in game three. Sabonis wasn't playing as well as he normally does. And as bad as the Warriors are on the road, they are completely the opposite at home, right? Like
Yeah.
they are a home team. Like they've done very well at home. So I'm not surprised that the series is now 2-2.
I'm not at all surprised that they have been able to tie this series up. I'm not even surprised that they were able to do so without Draymond
Yeah.
in game three.
Yeah.
Right, I
Which.
mean, at a certain point though, right? The act is getting old, right? For Draymond.
It is. And I was going to say that. So I know we want to talk about this in a future pod about like overrated players and underrated players. And to be honest, and I don't want to spoil this, but Draymond is in the running for my list of overrated players, and I have reasons why. But in game four, he actually did come out strong. Like, he is the reason. Like, I know he didn't start the game, but Fox came out strong, right? In the first half, I think he had over 20 points. I don't remember exactly how much, but maybe 21 points in the first half. And then Kerr decided to bring Green out, and he was able to limit Fox in terms of scoring. So, I mean, in that sense, like, I think he was a difference maker for that game. And this is coming from a non Draymond fan.
I just think that they are unbeatable, almost unbeatable at home, and are just, they're quite the opposite on the road. I, like you, I'm intrigued by this series, the whole, you know, Mike Brown, and we've talked about this before. I feel like that Mike Brown really propped up, you know, that coaching staff. And it's clear that without Mike Brown, this team, which virtually unchanged from the previous season, not as good as they were before. And clearly the Kings, it's the best season they've had probably since the, you know, the Peja, Chris Webber.
Yeah.
Those days of the early, you know, to mid 2000s. I think this series will go seven. But I like the Kings. I need Sabonis to step up a little bit more.
He needs to step up,
I got to ask you about the stomp. I feel like we wouldn't be able to leave this conversation about the stomp. Do you take Draymond's explanation at face value?
I don't take either Sabonis's or Draymond's explanation at face value. So as much as I don't, I'm not a huge Draymond fan. Mm-hmm. He does have a history of unsportsmanlike and aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
And I think his history, well, we know his history is probably what resulted in the suspension.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was intentional on both.
Yeah, I agree.
And Sabonis' statement that he was preventing his face from getting hurt. It may be true, but it just seemed unjustified to me what he did, like holding Draymond's leg.
And I mean, there's so many things that could have gone wrong there for Draymond. If he had moved at a different angle, if he had fallen, I think Draymond should have been suspended. I think it was clearly a stomp. I don't know. I've lost my balance. And as I'm now in my 50s, I lose my balance sometimes. I've never lost my balance and attempted to gain my balance by stomping down. That being said, I also think if I was the league, I would have actually also suspended Sabonis for a game just to send the message. Hey, you don't grab players by the ankle. Like, that's not a thing that we do, because he could have caused injury. To Draymond. Yeah. So I don't believe either one of their stories. But it did add to the intrigue of an already fascinating series. I think it's going to go seven. I want the Kings. I want the Kings to win. I'm ready for this dynasty to end. It's time.
I agree. And you know what? I think that the Kings winning would just be a good story for the for the NBA as well. It gets kind of boring when you have the same teams, the same like five teams winning over and over, the same players, I should say, right? Because they're on different teams now.
Give me Lakers. Give me Lakers and Kings in the semifinals.
Oh,
Lakers and Kings. I'm here for it. I mean, we could talk about the Phoenix Clippers series with Kawhi out. I mean, this series is going to be over, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
That has quickly become, I remember mentioning that Atlanta is a boring team for me to
yeah.
watch. And I must say that this series has been pretty interesting so far, especially with how Atlanta bounced back from game two, even though they ultimately lost game two. And then even to the game tonight was quite interesting. It was fast paced and it was good. But I think that the Suns Clippers series has become the most boring series.
It's a snooze fest. I think with especially with Kawhi and Paul George being out,
Exactly.
you know,
Yeah.
I mean, and for Ty Lue to have them at least out there competing says a lot, but I think this series is over. And clearly the Denver Minnesota series, my Nuggets are gonna cruise. They're gonna sweep them. You know, we're recording this on Sunday night. I'm gonna go out. I'm just gonna call my shot that
They're going to close it out
we're
tonight.
gonna close it out tonight. Just wrap this thing up and it put them, you know, put them to bed. And they deserve it. I mean, all the ridiculous celebration last year for getting into the playoffs. I mean, it was, I don't know. Even though Pat Bev's not there anymore, I still hold it against him and Karl Anthony Towns.
They really have been a disappointment this playoffs. And, you know, I think Edwards didn't play to his full potential. He did bounce back, you know, after that abysmal game one. And he was able to average over 30 points. I'm not exactly sure exactly how much, but over 30 points over the last two games. But it was almost like it was too little and too late. So, I mean, it's sad because Minnesota does have one of the best defenses in the NBA, right? And that, like, love him or hate him, he's part of that. And when he comes, when Cat's strong, and we've talked about Cat as well, when he comes out strong and reliable, and when, you know, players like Connolly do their thing, Edwards, if he played to his full potential, like, I don't know, it could have been a little bit more competitive. But yeah, unfortunately, I think the Nuggets are going to close it out.
I and as much as I love the Nuggets, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen enough out of like Michael Porter Jr. to me is the missing piece. You know, if he could get going, Jamal Murray, he's playing great again. He looks like he's back in bubble form.
Yes. Bubble Harry.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys in the West that feel like they need to relive the bubble. If Anthony Davis could somehow pretend, they ought to just put Anthony Davis in a bubble. Denver ought to just say, hey, Jamal, we're going to treat you like you're in the bubble. And that way you can kind of go off. Speaking of bubble, though, on the, I guess, if we could switch to the Eastern Conference for a little bit, one of the guys that really, you know, kind of came, you know, to the national spotlight in the bubble was Donovan Mitchell with
Yes.
the Cavs. That Knicks-Cavs series, what are your thoughts on that?
So, I mean, I think this is where little things like the Knicks being a better rebounding team, having a stronger bench, which I am a huge proponent of. All these things add up to give a team the edge in the playoffs, right? And the Knicks largely won game one because of their defense. And they have also the ultimate role player in.
Wait. Are we talking about
The Knicks.
what's that?
Oh,
Who's that?
I was going to see if you could guess.
So you've got Randall. You've got oh my gosh, why am I blanking on his name? He came from Dallas.
Josh Hart. Josh Hart is the ultimate role
Oh, Josh Hart. He, you know what? Josh Hart as a Knick, I mean, he's looked fantastic. I
He,
mean,
yes.
I mean, he's all is he always the player to be named later? Like,
think so. I think he's very undervalued and underrated.
yeah, I hope he's found a home with Tibbs. Tip, I mean, I don't know if Thibodeau, if he's not grinding guys into the ground the way he used to, because they look like, I don't know, the Knicks look like, they look like a real team. I like what I'm seeing. And I don't know when's, I don't know when game four or five is. I've kind of lost track of that series, except all I know is that the fans
Game five.
were like, Kevin Durant, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? And I'm like, no, I don't. I think he's just fine, not being a Knick. But I am trying as much as I think the Cavs have a very exciting roster. I just for this playoffs, I'm kind of ready for them to just go away.
Yeah,
Give me the
I
Knicks.
agree.
Give me the Knicks. Give me the Knicks. And I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, so if we're going to, obviously your Celtics have advanced to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Wait, have they? No, they haven't
No,
advanced
they
yet. They've
haven't.
got one more.
We
They're up
got one more,
3-1.
but
Yeah,
yeah.
it's
I
oh,
don't
it's
see Atlanta winning three in a row.
no, they're not going to win 3-1. Quinn's going to have them playing good ball. I just, it's going to be tough going back to Boston to steal one. So something, I think something really tragic would have to happen, like some injury or something like that. But I think it's over for them. What are your thoughts on the Bucks?
With Giannis when he's
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? That's actually, to be quite honest, I've been watching a lot of ball the
Yeah.
last couple, like since the playoffs
Yeah.
started, but that's the one series for some reason I haven't watched.
Yeah.
There's always been a scheduling conflict with that particular
Yeah.
series. But I mean, I did watch the first couple of games, and I don't know. I don't see. I still think the Bucks are going to take the series.
I think, yeah, I
You have
think they
Hero out
will.
for Miami, or Lowry. Has Lowry come back? No.
No.
Yeah.
That this is the one series that they're always the early game, either during the week and especially on weekends. I was really looking forward to seeing, Giannis and the Bucks against, the Miami Heat. But they, I would be surprised if Miami were to win this series. I really would.
I agree. And like with Hero out, Butler really needs to step it up.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, it just hasn't happened. So,
Yeah. We're so I'm all right. So we've already teased that Draymond Green in our top five and in our top five most overrated. We've teased that Draymond may possibly make that list. There is another name that I may nominate for top five most overrated, and that is, you mentioned his name, Jimmy Butler.
oh.
I think he's quite overrated. He's good. He's a good player. But that calling him Jimmy Buckets, I'm like, I'm sorry. I've never seen him have a Damon Stoudemire or Damon Stoudemire. Oh my God. Damian Lillard. Oh, I'm really dating myself. I've never seen him have a Dame Lillard performance. I've never seen him take over a game like Kawhi. I've never seen him do anything like what KD has done or LeBron. And I don't think he's got, I mean, I haven't seen, I mean, I've seen Tatum, who I think Tatum is a could I'm looking to see if this is the playoffs where he makes this exponential leap, like get on my back. And I know he's got Jaylen Brown, so I'm not trying to diminish Jaylen Brown, But I think that Jason Tatum has what it takes to be that person. I'm looking to see, or I'm sorry, not person, that player. I think I'm looking to see if it happens this playoffs. But if it doesn't happen this playoffs, I think it's going to happen next playoffs. And I am excited. That's why I need them to, you know, I need them to do what they need to do. So, I would love to see Jason Tatum at his height. I would love to see a Boston, because Boston is one. So I would love to see Boston and Philly in the finals, Eastern Conference Finals. I want to see Jason Tatum at the height of his powers. I want to see Embiid at the height of his powers. Who there was some shenanigans going on in that series with Brooklyn. Yeah. And I'm just glad they got that whole thing over with. Like,
yeah,
I felt like if they had gone another game, somebody was going to get hurt. Like, I just felt like I didn't want to see anything where something might happen to Embiid because of Claxton doing stupid stuff or the foul they called on James Harden, which was ridiculous. Like, everything about that series told me, let's just get this thing over with. I don't need anybody of note to get hurt. But I will say, though, I think that the Brooklyn Nets, that doesn't have a guy, like, they just need a – they need one – if you give them a player, like,
they just need one. They just need one guy. So they're I think they're in a desperate need of a rebuild, actually. And the thing is, if they do get a superstar, it's not going to come short of, you know, a rebuild. So I think that they definitely need to do that. But I agree, the Sixers and the Celtics would be a great series. One, because the Sixers swept the Nets, and honestly, I'm a little bit shocked that the Celtics didn't sweep the Hawks.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, and you know, we can talk about that, but I think that would be a really, really interesting series. And I think that, you know, the Sixers were so hyped up, and rightfully so, because on paper, again, they're a great team, and you know, they proved it. And I know you don't like Tobias Harris.
Well, I like him when he's with Boban.
But you have to admit that with Embiid not playing, he stepped up. And
he really did.
He stepped up.
You know what? He has. Well, I was going to say he almost earned his money, but he's making a lot. He's making so much money. Now, I don't think Tobias is overrated. I mean, if we wanted to do an overpaid team, then Tobias could very well make that list. But yeah, I love Maxey. He's got a motor. He's just kind of got this, he's got this infectious energy about him.
Yeah.
That I guess the thing with this Sixers team is just how much fun I have and how frustrating it can be watching them sometimes, because I'm like, why aren't you beating everybody by 10, you know, 12 to 15 points every night? You ought to just be destroying people.
But
I don't know. But I think that's also Doc Rivers. I just think that that's what you're going to get out of a Doc Rivers team. They're going to amaze you certain times. They're going to frustrate you certain times. He's going to throw his players under the bus when they don't perform the way he thinks they should, because it's never on him. But give me if I can get. And as much as I love Giannis, if he's not going to be healthy, I don't really want to see him in the Western or the Eastern Conference Finals. Give me the Celtics.
Yeah.
Give me the Sixers, and we can kick it old school like back in the day. You know, it's possible. A tiki, like, it is within the realm of possibility.
Oh, it absolutely
that
is.
We could get a Celtics Lakers finals. If Anthony
You know
Davis
what?
were to play.
That would be, I think, the I think for Celtics and Lakers fan, that would be the ultimate finals, because you have a clear enemy and you have a clear favorite.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Because you cannot be both a Celtics and Lakers fan.
No.
You could potentially be a Sixers and Celtics fan, or you could potentially, I know actually some, believe it or not, I actually know some people that are both Clippers and Lakers fans.
What?
I do. I know some people that are. But
that's not a thing.
Yeah.
How is that a thing?
Yeah, but you can't be both a Celtics and Lakers fan. So I think that that would be the ultimate matchup.
I mean, it's the ultimate matchup.
It is the ultimate matchup, but it'll be ideal.
For fans who love those teams, then you've got your team and your hated rival, right?
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the league of fans, it's like, who do I hate the least?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly what it is.
Do I hate LeBron more? I mean, but the thing is, I don't hate anybody on the Celtics.
Yeah, there's no one to really, I think the most
Marcus
and desirable player is Mark. Maybe he's a little off-putting to some people, but not even.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if you're hating the Celtics at this point, you're hating the Celtics of like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You're not really hating. Well, no, you could hate the big three Celtics. People did,
people hated them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, even though he got a ring in Miami, I do feel bad for Antoine Walker that he did not get a ring with the Celtics, even though he annoyed the crap out of me with his little shimmy. I do wonder sometimes, like, does he look at Steph Curry and go, hey, man, that was my thing. I was doing the shimmy, or you were doing the shimmy.
I hate the shimmy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hate it.
Low key, Steph Curry on court. I don't know. I'm sure he's a great person off court. Low key, Steph Curry on court. Seems like he's kind of a jerk. He kind of gets away with it.
He's that boyish look.
Yeah.
Good Christian husband.
Yeah.
So I think he gets the boyish charm. I think he gets away with a lot, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's being a low key.
Yeah. So people look at Draymond and go, but I'm like, I don't mind Draymond. It is Steph that I'm like, I see you, Steph. You can act like you're goody two shoes all you want. I know what's really going on. Real quick, so I'm having a dad-daughter movie night tonight, and we're gonna watch I've lost the name of the movie, but with Marky Mark Wahlberg. I'm old enough where I still call him Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he could have if he would have stayed in the rap game, I don't know. That one song he had was good.
Yeah.
And the guy that plays Spider-Man. The kid that plays Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Uncharted. We're going to watch Uncharted.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
Tonight.
Nice.
But I do have to ask you before we go, when the dust settles next week, who's making it to the semifinals? Who do you got?
Okay, I think the scenario that we talked about with the Sixers and the Celtics is highly probable.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the West, oh gosh, the Suns have got to be there.
Yeah.
And then they would play likely the winners of. Would it be the Golden State Kings?
So Phoenix will play the winner. So they'll play. I'm assuming Denver is going to close tonight. So we'll get
Right.
Phoenix and Denver.
We'll get Phoenix and Denver. Yeah. Okay. Phoenix and
Yeah.
Denver. And then it'll be the winner of Lakers and Grizzlies and versus Kings and Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say I'm hoping for the Kings.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping for the Kings. I have no desire to see LeBron and going against the Warriors again. We've seen that
No,
movie a thousand
we've
times.
seen that movie before. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see Mike Brown just because he's going against the Lakers because they thought, oh, he can't coach. I mean, I think they fired him like after 10 games or something stupid like
Yes.
that.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. So I'm yeah. So I like that. And then in the East, you've got we'll have the winner of Milwaukee,
Yeah.
Miami.
Yep.
And so and the Celtics are going. I'm assuming they're going to advance. Philadelphia's already advanced. So we know we've got. We'll get Mil. So we'll get Boston versus whoever the number four seed is. Oh, they'll get the winner of the Knicks Cavs.
Knicks, Cavs, yes.
Yeah.
So likely the Knicks,
Yeah.
hopefully.
Yeah, and then we'll get Milwaukee. So we'll get Milwaukee
Milwaukee and Philly.
and Philly.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun, and hopefully Giannis will be back in full speed. He and Embiid,
Yeah.
the soon to be MVP versus the person who believes he's the MVP every year. I love that for Giannis. I love that he thinks he's the MVP every year.
I love him. How can you not love that guy?
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun week, Atika. This is gonna be a fun week of basketball. I cannot wait to see a week from now what matchups we actually wind up with. And there will be all sorts of drama, I'm sure,
Yep.
between now and then. But this has been fun. Catch you on the flip side. Thanks everybody for watching the Play-In podcast and watch as much basketball as you can because this is the good stuff.
This is the good
All
stuff.
right. All right. Peace out, y'all.
All right.